शलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांतं राधा कांतं नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो वेरी वार्म गुड मॉर्निंग टू ऑल द ब्लेस्ड डिवोटीज एंड वेरी गुड आफ्टरनून टू ऑल द अदर डिवोटीज फ्रॉम वेरियस पार्ट्स ऑफ द वर्ल्ड वी हैव सेलिब्रेटेड जन्माष्टमी इन अ वेरी यूनिक वे That was mentioned in the temple of Radha Gopinath temple and lecture that there was one type of Janmashtami, Nandotsav, celebrated by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi and all the Vridhvasis. In great pomp, great festivities. And there was another kind of Janmashtami which was celebrated by Vasudev and Devaki in the prison house in the lockdown. On the mental platform. Vasudev donated 200,000 cows decorated with gold and silk and rejoiced with only Devaki inside the closed prison with so much of sacrifice, love and appreciation of the service that he received. So we all celebrated Janmashtami in the same platform within our houses. But we had some additional benefit more than Vasudev and Devaki that we had online Zoom darshans of the lordships while there was no internet facility. So what was Vasudev doing in Gokul with exchange of children that was not seen by Vasudev and Devaki. Devaki. Vasudev went and came back but Devaki did not know exactly what happened, how the scene was there, how everybody was sleeping in Gokul like they were sleeping in Mathura and how he exchanged the baby and came back with the girl. All that was only narrated and then visualized by Devaki. So, immediately after that, some scriptures say that Krishna's birthday was celebrated by Nanda Maharaj for 6 months continuously. They were so much ecstatic that they didn't even realize that it was when it was daytime, when it was nighttime, it was not realized by the devotees who were enjoying with Nanda Maharaj and devotees. And Srimad Bhagavatam explains that Nandotsav was only one day. And on the sixth day, Putana came. So both things are true as per the Kalpabheda understanding. And then there's one significant statement that comes in Garga Sanhita that Garga Muni was sent by Vasudev to keep names for the newly born children because they were his children. Yes? Not clear? Is the voice clear or not clear?
It's clear, Prabhu.
Maybe you have to check.
Earphones.
You have to check your. You can put earphones and you can hear. Or check your Wi-Fi connection. Hare Krishna. So, Garga Muni was sent by Vasudev to Nandagaon or Gokul because Garga Muni was the priest, family priest of Vasudev. And Vasudev felt obliged to keep names for his newborn children who are now with Nanda Baba in Gokul. So that time, Garga Muni came and secretly kept the names for the babies in the Gaushala. And it is explained that from there, after confidentially putting the names only with Nanda Baba, Rohini, Yashoda and the two babies and the cows and the calves, nobody else was there in the cowshed. Nobody knew in the whole Gokul Vrindavan. From there, Garga Muni left and he went to Barsana. He went to Rawal, where Radharani was already born. And it is explained that Garga Muni held the hand of Vrishabhanu Maharaj and he took him in the wilderness in seclusion. And then he explained to him that one who is born at the home of Nanda, they are supreme personalities of Godhead. One is Krishna and the other one is Balaram, who is the son of Rohini. And also you should know, Vrishabhanu Maharaj, that the girl that is born in your house is the most dear consort of the supreme personality of Godhead from Golok Vrindavan. She is Radharani, the internal potency of Krishna. So that time Vrishabhanu Maharaj was very excited and he asked, so what will be her future? So he said, you should find good time to marry her with Krishna. Krishna is the only best husband for her. First he explained that she is the internal potency of Krishna from Golok Vrindavan. And then he asked, who is the best husband for her? How do I find husband? And that time he told that the same supreme personality of Godhead is born at the house of Nanda Maharaj. So it was a very exciting discussion and Garga Muni did not declare his visit to Gokul with Nanda Maharaj, neither he declared his visit to Vrishabhanu Maharaj in Rawal, and he went back. But he wanted to give this news to Vrishabhanu Maharaj to increase his happiness. So Srimati Radharani is extremely important personality in our spiritual life. And without the presence of Radharani, even Krishna's presence is incomplete. It is explained that only when Krishna stands with Radharani, Krishna gets all the effulgence and he looks effulgent. And when Radharani is not with him, he looks morose because he is morose and he also loses his luster. So it is also explained that Barsana, which is the kingdom of Radharani, has golden effulgence which spreads over in the sky, and that golden effulgence covers the blue effulgence of Nandagaon to pacify Krishna, who is at that time in separation from Radharani, staying in Nandagaon. So many beautiful explanations, and historically we know that when Srila Prabhupada was small boy, Abhay, who was raised by Gaur Mohan Day in a very Krishna conscious manner, and Gaur Mohan Day had a very Vedic lifestyle. He had a cloth shop and he would come home for lunch, and in a very Vedic Grahastha way, he would call out to anybody on the door, anybody is hungry, please come. And daily, Prabhupada quotes as a memory that daily many sadhus would come at the homes of Prabhupada to take lunch, and after feeding them lunch, giving them some dakshina, Gaur Mohan Day, Abhay's father would ask, please bless this child, Abhay, to become a great devotee of Radharani. That was the blessing he would ask. And all the sadhus who were satisfied by his wonderful charitable nature of Gaur Mohan Day, they would bless the little child Abhay. Yes, he would become the devotee of Radharani. So we can imagine, even in childhood, how to become the devotee of Radharani and to receive the mercy of Radharani as a principle was imbibed by little Abhay, who later became A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So in the heart of his heart, he always begged for the mercy of Radharani. Even our Gurudev, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, when we went to Vrindavan Yatra for the first ever time in 1986 December, he had come to receive us at the Mathura station, and we were only 22. That you will sometimes, if you hear that, you will faint now, that we were only 22 in the first Yatra. Because now there are 8,000 devotees, and you can't find yourself in the ocean of devotees. But in those days, only 22 devotees, and most of them were medical students and doctors. And we were received by him at Mathura station. And there was a small room, kind of waiting room there. He received us there. And there only everybody sat down. And he also sat down and he gave us a welcome address there at the Mathura station. And many good things he told. I remember vividly that the whole scene is in front of my eyes. But a distinct line that was engraved in the heart permanently was that he said that when you enter Vrindavan physically, from that moment onwards till you board the, I think you have to make the others silent. So again I repeat, he said, if you enter Vrindavan until the point again you board the train or flight to go back to your homes, with every moment that you spend in Vrindavan, Vrindavan Dham, you need to beg for the mercy of Radharani in the inner chambers of your heart. Constantly keep begging the mercy of Radharani, because without her mercy, one cannot enter or imagine to enter, dream to enter Vrindavan Dham. That's why in Vrindavan also, when you go, no one says Jai Shri Krishna. That you say in Nathadwar. When you go to Nathadwar or go to some Pushtimar temple, they will say Jai Shri Krishna. But in Vrindavan, no one will say Jai Shri Krishna. Even it is explained in scriptures that each and every leaf, each and every branch, each and every living entity, parrots and peacocks and every living entity, birds, animals, everybody chants Jai Shri Radhe. Because the secret behind chanting Jai Shri Radhe is that if you call Krishna, if you say Jai Shri Krishna, very good, absolutely perfectly prescribed. But it is very difficult to attract the attention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he says Ananyas Chintayantamam Yojana Paryupasati. Unless and until we become Ananya Bhakta of Krishna, that means we give up everything else in the life except we have desire to serve and please him. Ananya means there is nobody else, only he. And when he gets 100% attention, then he responds to that devotee who is attending to him 100%. And all of us are so poor fellows, you know, we keep calling, he never listens to us. But the moment we say, Jai Sri Radhe, immediately he turns and sees, who is calling my beloved? Who is calling my beloved? For example, Narayani Kripa Devi is sitting here and somebody immediately says, Naveen Krishna, Naveen Krishna. So immediately first, before Naveen Krishna, in a playful mood, he will not respond, but first he will turn and see, who is calling my dear son? So the easiest way to attract the attention of Narayani Kripa Mataji is to call Naveen Krishna in the crowd. So you don't embarrass her by calling her name also, and she also does the needful by responding to your call by looking at the sound of the call. So like that, it is easy to attract the attention of the Lord by calling the name of His beloved, most beloved, and most beloved, Srimati Radharani. So our whole movement, if we study our movement, ISKCON movement, it is named as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But he teaches the science preached by Radharani. It is the name is given to Krishna, but what it hides is the process of attaining Krishna is given by Radharani. So all that we learn in ISKCON is what Radharani has practiced herself and Radharani is teaching. And the goal is mentioned in the name of ISKCON. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavat is a very interesting thing to note. The Srimad Bhagavat is not having any mention of Radharani anywhere. And there was a reason behind it, because Shukadev was the dearmost parrot of Radharani. His name was Leela Shuka. And Leela Shuka was very, very dear to Radharani. He would always be on the finger of Radharani, like this. And he would witness every single most intimate pastimes between Radha and Krishna and the gopis and the gopas. Everybody, wherever Radharani would be, that means Madhuri Ras, wherever she is, that is the atmosphere filled with Madhuri Ras, the most intense loving atmosphere. And that rasa, this parrot had absorbed all the life, all the time long. So when he was told by Radha and Krishna to stay back, naturally he wanted to go with them when they were departing from this world after completing their pastimes. But surprisingly to him, Radha and Krishna told him that you need to stay back because we want you to glorify both of our pastimes to the material world, people who are living in the material world. So very, he was not so happy to hear that, but of course he was a surrendered soul, so he immediately said, okay, I would like to follow your instruction, and if you want me to narrate your pastimes, I need to hear it from some great soul, some great pure devotee. That means, one thing to note down here, that the parrot of Radharani, Leela Shuka, did not feel that, oh, narrating your pastimes? So simple, I was all time witnessing, all time knowing, so it is so simple, I just start narrating. No, he said, listening is okay, when witnessing is okay, but if it comes to the point of narrating to somebody else, I have to hear from some other pure devotee of the Lord, who is realized soul, hear from him, and then I will be eligible and qualified to repeat the stories of you and Radharani. So that's why he went to Kailash, first to hear from Shiva, then he heard from Vyasadev, then he entered the womb of the wife of Vyasadev, he became Vyasadev's son, and in the process he heard Srimad Bhagavatam 4 times. That story some other time we'll narrate to you. So, Leela Shuka, he was such a devotee of Radharani that he himself also knew, and many other people knew, that if he would utter the name of Radharani ever, then he would go into 6 months long unconsciousness in ecstasy. So that shloka also, I don't know by heart, but that shloka says that Shanmasi Murcha, 6 months he will be completely in ecstasy in unconsciousness. And how many days Parikshit had? Only 7 days. So why did he not mention the name of Radharani? Because he knew he would go in unconsciousness, and poor fellow for whose liberation, whose kalyana welfare he was narrating Bhagavatam, he would be just sitting there waiting when he would come back. And in the meantime, snake bird will come and kill him. So very effortfully he had to curb his desire or urge to chant the name of Radharani or mention her anywhere. So he only had to mention indirectly, you know, Anaya Rajata Nunam, something like that, Gopiyuhu, that Gopi, like that. But he never uttered her name. So that is the reason Srimad Bhagavatam does not have any direct mention of Radharani. Although, all throughout the Bhagavatam, what is narrated is the process of attaining Krishna. And that is the process which Radharani follows. What is Aradhana? Aradhana is defined as that process which Radharani herself does to please Krishna. That's why what are we supposed to do is Aradhana. And our Sampradaya, Gaudiya Sampradaya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, what is it preaching? It is preaching what was performed by Radharani is preached by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached everything what Radharani does in the form of bhakti. So Radharani is bhakti personified. So So all that we learn in Gaudi Sampradaya, the revolutionary Sampradaya, Aslishava Padarakam Pinastumam Adarsanam Karmam Marmahatam Karotuva Yatha Tathava Vidhatu Lampato Matprana Nathastu Saeva Naparaha. This is the heart of Radharani. Aslishava Padaratam, you can crush me, Pinastumam, under your feet if you like. If you like, you can embrace me. If you like, you can make me yours. If you like, you can kick me away. If you like, you can neglect me. You can treat me the way you want. But mat prana nathastu saeva napraha. However you will treat me, however you will teach me, however you will deal with me, positively, negatively, from your point of view, or favorably or unfavorably from my point of view, you can do whatever you want because you are the boss and I am your servant, and I will never give up my heart as mat prana nathastu saeva napraha. You being my Lord, unconditionally, forever, independent of the way you deal with me. That is the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because that is the heart of Radharani, and that is what Radharani thinks. And what Radharani thinks is what we are taught by Prabhupada in Gaudiya Sampradaya, Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that's our philosophy. So all our philosophy is Radharani's heart. And to explore what is there in the heart of Radharani is the process of bhakti. And when we realize the heart of Radharani, that means we have attained the perfection of life. So, she is like sugar in the milk, you know. You can taste it, but you cannot pick it up from the milk and separate it. It is the ingredient of the sweet milk that you will not be able to separate it. At the same time, you can taste it. You can appreciate it. So like that, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of Radharani, but you cannot take her out of Bhagavatam and say, okay, this is Radharani and I have singled her out. She has become one with the heart of Krishna in love, not in impersonal way, but in loving relationships. So, in Krishna book chapter 31, Srila Prabhupada explains about Radharani. He quotes Skanda Puran and he says that out of many thousands of gopis, 16,000 gopis are predominant, are very important. And out of that, 108 gopis are very special. And from the of these 108 gopis, 8 are still more important. They are called sakhis, ashta sakhis, or parameshti sakhis. And out of these 8, Radharani is most important, and one more is important who is not in the eight is Chandravali. Chandravali is a rival of Radharani, although she is an expansion of Radharani. But to increase the love between Radha and Krishna, she becomes rival to the party of Radharani. And amongst Radharani and Chandravali, Prabhupada explains, Radharani is of most importance. She is most prominent gopi of Krishna. Krishna book chapter 31. Because Radha possesses all the charm and sweetness, she is the better of the two. In the Shruti Shastra, Radharani is known by the name Gandharva Devi. Srimati Radharani considers Sri Krishna millions and millions of times more dear than her own life's breath, than her own existence. If at all she was given choice to choose between Krishna and her life breath, she will choose Krishna and give up her life. She is the highest love. Her personality expresses highest ecstasy of love. Mahabhav, ecstasy of love. This is important to understand that love of Godhead is supposed to be the highest goal of life. Prema Pumarto Mahan. And Mahabhav is supposed to be the finest form of that love, in which various 8 different kinds of love are included. And when all the 8 varieties of love, they manifest in a devotee's heart, then that is called Mahabhav. But unfortunately, they never appear in any devotee's heart except Radha Rani. Radha Rani is the origin of Mahabhav, with the fullest of expressions of 8 kinds of loving sentiments. And then after originating in Radha Rani, it is offered to Krishna, because Krishna is the foremost lover of Radha Rani. And then when Krishna becomes Gauranga Mahaprabhu or Jagannath, then he has this Mahabhava. So in the whole creation of spiritual and material world, the Mahabhava is owned by Radha as the origin, Krishna, Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That means Krishna and Jagannath are same, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna together. So either Radha or Krishna or Radha and Krishna together, that's all. No one else. So gopis also have some kind of Mahabhava, but it is not as complete and ecstatic and superlative as Radha Rani. So that is why Sri Krishna also is always desiring to receive the mercy of Radha Rani. He also feels very much dependent on the mercy of Radha Rani for him to survive or to exist. And he said everybody in Vrindavan also knows that his existence is simply depending on the existence and support and love of Radha Rani. So, who is Radha Rani? And why her name and existence is so much hidden and so much kept confidential? Because Radharani's position is extremely transcendental and at the same time very difficult to understand. Because Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has a public life and a private life. Like all of us have. We have a official position, job descriptions and what we do in the office and what we do in society, what we do in the community. These are all our duties that we perform externally. And there's something called a private life that we have at home. We have our wife, we have our children, we have our mother, father, brothers, sisters, and we don't execute our power of authority that we have in office at home. You know, I may be a big boss in my office and I come home and my child may jump on my head and snatch my bags and my cap and my suit and pull my tie and everything. And my wife may scold me for coming late, and which I'm not used to in office, getting scolded by my wife or somebody else. But at home, everything changes, you know. And you're also very comfortable. You don't mind. You don't say, oh, what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm so-and-so in my office. How can you insult me like this at home? You don't say that. So that is your personal bhav. Like Lord Shiva, he has duties outside as destroyer of everything. You know, he is Nataraj, and he is such a big Mahadev, and he has so many duties, and people worship him, do tapasya, and he gives benedictions like Ravan, and all that, great position. Even Brahma, his father, worships him, although he is the son of Brahma. But privately, Shiva is a dear devotee of Krishna. He will become a lady, he will become a gopi, and sit there as Gopeshwar Mahadev. He will do puja for Krishna with his wife. He will do Traimasik Vrata. He will come to see Krishna's baby form as a Brahmana along with his Nandi, along with his wife Parvati. That is his private. He will go and cry at Nandagaon, at Kameshwar, Asheshwar Mahadev, and he will desire to have darshan of Krishna. He will become mendicant and he will cry and tears will flow and form a kund. So he has a official duty and he has his heart, inner consciousness. So Sri Krishna also has got external form, that is Aishwarya Krishna, and Sri Krishna has got private form called Madhurya Krishna. We have been discussing that aspect. That what we see in Vrindavan is not that he is supreme personality of Godhead, of Vichad Aishwarya and 64 qualities, and is exhibiting them every now and then. No, actually he has given up all those things, what is official. And he has come even without even footwear in Vrindavan. He doesn't even carry any opulence of his duties and his position. Nobody knows in Vrindavan. Neither he wants anybody to know in Vrindavan. And that is his private life. And of that private life where no one knows him as Supreme Personality of Godhead, Radharani is one of the most confidential part of his private life. What he has, what he feels for her, even to large extent, Mother Yashoda will not know. His friends will not know. Everybody will know something is going on, but they will not know the depth. Why is he crying suddenly in the evening times? They will not know. Sometimes they know, but they don't know the depths of all that, what they feel they know. So it remains a mystery. And naturally, how you deal with your wife at home is not to be declared in public. We don't come every day and tell what we did, what we talked to our wife during lunch and dinner, and what confidential things we shared with her. It's always a private thing. And even if it is very interesting and scintillating and exciting, still you will not tell anybody outside, because it is a very confidential item. You know, even you may fight with your husband, even if you may love extensively with your husband and wife, but those things are very confidential. They cannot be shared outside. So same way, Sri Krishna, being the person like you and me are, he also has his private life, and in his private life he has got most private confidential item also, and that is Radharani. So it is being his private confidential item, it is not so publicly available. So how we can talk about it? It's somebody's private affair. We are talking about it publicly here, an international forum. Everybody from all over the world is listening. Why is that? Because there are so many great sages, like Garga Muni, like Narad Muni, like Agastya Muni, like Shukadev himself indirectly, and like so many others. There are so many scriptures where, like Raghunath Das Goswami, like Rupa Goswami, like Sanatan Goswami, because they have participated into the innermost Leela of the Lord, with the Lord, so they have understood and realized the glimpses of the innermost confidential relationship of the Lord. And that's how they also have understood who Radharani is, and that's how they have come to know that Radharani is such an important part for us also. Because once we struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle to attain Krishna, and we fail and fail and fail again and again, and suddenly we get Radharani in picture and becomes so easy, all that struggle becomes useless. Why we spent so much time, wasted so much time struggling? Why we couldn't use the key before? So that key is Radharani. When that key is available, all those things which are most difficult to achieve in life becomes like this, available easily. All doors open. Like Prabhupada said, I have got the back door key of Golok Vrindavan. So whenever you will end your life, I will get you entry from back door. So Golok Vrindavan is so difficult to attain, but if you have Prabhupada with you, then everybody will go back door. He said, even if you 75% surrender, I will take you from back door entry. And if you show Prabhupada, if you swipe Prabhupada card, then they'll let you in. So the most confidential, most unavailable, most difficult thing to achieve is made available easily by the acharyas who reach us to the lotus feet of Radharani. And that's how, although very confidential, by the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of six Goswamis, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who represents all the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, all these things become available to us. So we should never forget, when we discuss about Radharani, when we discuss about Barsana, discuss about Vrindavan Dham, we should always remember and meditate and be grateful for the mercy of all the acharyas who have been bestowing upon us this wonderful knowledge about Radharani, and who have been connecting us with Radharani. So who is this Radharani? She is the internal potency of Krishna. Krishna has got three principal potencies. In fact, he has got unlimited potencies. Parasya Shakti Vividhai Vasuyate. He has got unlimited energy through which he creates, manages, destroys, manipulates all the creation, material and spiritual, for the benefit of performing his pastimes and for the benefit of controlling this material world. But they are classified into three, basically. The topmost and the innermost and the confidential one is internal potency, Antaranga Shakti. And that manifests in the personal form as Radharani. Then that internal potency expands into another form of energy called as external potency, through which Krishna controls, creates the sthiti, srishti, sthiti, pralaya, sadhana, shakti, reka, chayeva, yasya, bhunani, vibharti, durga. She creates, maintains and also annihilates through her agencies. That is Durga Devi, and she is called as external potency or Maya Shakti of the Lord, Bahiranga Shakti. And then we all are created living entities, and we are also under the influence of either internal or external potency as per our choice, and we are called as Tatastha Shakti. We are marginal potency of the Lord. We all are also energy of the Lord, like Radharani and Durga Devi is. But we are in between. We have a choice to be under the shelter of Daivim Prakrutim Ashritaha or Maya Prakruti Ashritaha. That choice we have got. That's why our position is in between, and we can choose to go anywhere to take shelter. So Radharani is the internal potency of the Lord. And from where Radharani came, it is explained when Krishna was at Anadikal, at the unknown time before, when he was alone, he created from his left side of the body Radharani, and from right side of the body all the Gopals. And from his Vama Anga, when Radharani was created in the spiritual world, then Radharani created Gopis, who are much more powerful than Durga Devi also. So there are direct expansions. And the Gopis, they were created in large numbers, and then Krishna performed, they created Goloka Vrindavan, then Radharani, then Gopis, and on this side, the Gwalbal, the cowherd boys were created. But with Gopis, Sri Krishna and Radharani performed Rasalila in the spiritual world. And that time, when they were dancing, they were so much ecstatic that lot of teardrops and lot of sweat drops were created. We call as Divya Ashru Bindu and Divya Sweda Bindu. They are not like our sweat drops, which are very, you know, having bad smell, foul smelling condition. It's like excreta, it's like a waste product from our body. Even our tears are waste product also, and our sweat also. It is said, if at all sometimes your tear by accidental reason falls in any item to be offered to Krishna, the item has to be discarded, because the tear is also like a stool. But when that happens to Gopis and Krishna and Radharani, it's all divine. It's all crystalline clear, very fragrant and very, very, very divine. So all the teardrops and all the sweat drops, they got collected to form a very beautiful, attractive, effulgent pond in Golok Vrindavan. And at the end of the Rasila, Radharani and Krishna and Gopis came to see that beautifully formed pond. And Radharani was so excited and so happy to see that beautiful pond. She told Krishna that this pond has to be made mobile in the form of a river. So that particular pond was mobilized in the form of a river. It became river, and that river is Yamuna. And then imagine, it was Radharani's desire because of which Yamuna was created. The most inseparable ingredient of Goloka Vrindavan and Vrindavan on earth is Yamuna. Inseparable avibhajya anga. Inseparable part of the Goloka Vrindavan and Goma Vrindavan. And then after that, performing Rasila many times in Goloka Vrindavan, one time Radharani met Krishna in the private kunja, private forest, and she said that, I want to create a place where you and me can perform pastimes confidentially alone. Whenever I want to be with you alone, I want a secluded place. I don't want everybody to come there. So when she expressed her desire of having that confidential private place at that time, a blue effulgence came from the front of the chest of Krishna, and in front of the eyes of Radharani, that blue effulgence settled down on the ground of Goloka Vrindavan and started growing in the form of a mountain. And it went on growing and growing and growing and growing, and it assumed a very unbelievable size and height. At that time, Krishna had to stop it. And that was Govardhan. And that is also creation of Radharani's desire. So what we see is Vrindavan Dham, Yamuna River, and Govardhan Mountain are the three inseparable items which are most important ingredients of the spiritual world. Wherever divinity, spirituality, and ultimate auspiciousness has to be there, these three things have to be there. In thought or in existence physically, without these three things, divinity cannot express itself. And all these three ingredients of the divinity were produced by the desire of Radharani. So this is Radharani. And most important thing is Krishna is in always desire to, you know, seek love. What we always hear as a goal of life is, purpose of life is to love and be loved. That's all the purpose of all life is. Everything else is secondary to all that. All that we are doing in our life as our duties or as our wishes, as our wishful life, whatever we are doing, willingly or unwillingly, is ultimately to be loved and to love somebody else. So that desire is originally present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead first. For that sake only he expands into Radharani. He creates another person to relate to offer his love to get love in return, to exchange, to relate. And then the expansion is there. So that is why Sri Krishna, when he created her, in one sense he is her master. But at the same time he is extremely dependent, like the husband and wife at home. Maybe the husband is master at home. He goes out, he earns money, he buys the house, his name is on the house, he owns the house, he owns the car, he owns properties. But he heavily depends upon his wife at home, who maintains all those things. Without her support, he cannot run the whole show. He may earn money and he may get a lot of properties, but who will look after that lovingly? Who will receive him at home? Who will cook for him? Who will use his money and create wonderful things at home to please him? So although in one sense he is a controller, but he is very heavily dependent on the personality whom he loves. And that's how Krishna is a supreme controller, but he very heavily depends on Radharani, her service, her loving service, her support, her transcendental relationship, the rasa that she is offering is very much dependent on that. That is why, although she is not presented in front line, Sri Krishna is always in front line as Supreme Personality of Godhead. But you know, at the back side, all his existence depends on her. For example, when he goes to Vrindavan, it is like unbelievable for the demigods to see Krishna the way he is. In Dwarka, if you go sitting on the throne, controlling everything, guiding everything he's doing. But in confidentially, you will find him sometimes crying in the forest, sitting alone. And if a demigod goes and asks him, he will not tell why is he crying. But if Subal goes and asks him, his closest friend, what happened to you? And he will tell the inner heart that I am missing Radharani very much. Please get her immediately. Please bring her immediately. So like that, one time he went to Kokilavan. And in Kokilavan he played his flute to call Radharani. And Radharani wanted to immediately leave and go and meet Krishna. But she was surrounded by her in-laws, her mother-in-law and sister-in-law. So she, in the guise of picking up water in the clay pot, she wanted to go out. And they said, no, why are you going out? Already water is filled up. There's no need of water. So she was sent back home from the doorstep. So she cried and cried and cried. She could not respond to Krishna's flute. And Krishna went on playing flute. And finally, Subal was with him. And she would not respond. So Krishna said, now I cannot live. I played flute so many times. She is not coming. I don't think she will come. I will give up my life. When I give up my life, please give my flute and my gunjamala to gift to Radharani. So that was like ultimate statement. He was so sad. He was crying, rolling on the ground. At that time, Subal said, don't worry. I will go and do something. But don't give up your life. I'll come back. Don't give up your life. If I'm successful in bringing her back, it will be sad to see that you have given up your life. So hold on to your life. He was crying and crying, but he had lost all hopes. And then Subal goes and, you know, disguises as Radharani. He's like very similar to Radharani. Although he's a boy, he looks like Radharani by face. So he somehow tricks mother-in-law of Radharani, goes inside the house and exchanges the dresses. He becomes Radharani. He gives his dress to Radharani. She becomes Subala. And as Subal, she leaves home. And then goes and meets Radharani. Radharani meets Krishna in Kokilavan. And so this is like private life. This is not to be displayed in Dwarka or somewhere in official place where Krishna is about to start the Kurukshetra war. He cannot exhibit all these things. But it's her position in Krishna's life was so great that Krishna would sometimes in the middle of the night in Dwarka, taking rest in his houses, 16,108 houses, he would take rest with his 16,108 wives. And suddenly he'll get up in the night and start crying. And sometimes he would cry and chant, Radhe, Lalite, Vishakhae, like that. And then all the wives would get upset. What happened? What went wrong? So Krishna would not be able to say anything. He would be so shy and embarrassed, but he could not even control his tears also. Very difficult situation for the Supreme Lord, who is controller of everything. He is uncontrollable in controlling his emotions for his Brajbhumi lovers. And finally he says that I am remembering my gopis, and then they outward will wonder what is there in the gopis that so much he remembers them, although he is here with us. And we have so many variety of us here. We are so many of us, we can do so many things just to please him. And they really wanted to please him. And then Rukmini is feeding him lunch and 56 bhogas. She is the topmost of all the goddesses of fortune, Bhagya Lakshmi. Param Bhagya Lakshmi, Rukmini Devi, is cooking with her own hands, 56 items, sitting next to Krishna, fanning him and serving each item with love, asking, inquiring. And suddenly Krishna is crying. He says, what's wrong? Anything is wrong with the food? Have I made any mistake? No, your love is perfect, your preparation is perfect, it's very delicious. So what to do? I'm remembering Vrindavan Dham and Gopis and Mother Yashoda. How can I match up that experience with your experience? Your experience is wonderful, but it's different than what I experienced in childhood. So this is the situation of Krishna, that as a individual living entity who is supreme person, he has his private feelings, he has his private loving sentiments, he has his private life, he has his private personality, private emotions that he shares with his private most people, and that is the fulfillment of his life. He is in reality, he is a person who is in Vrindavan. That is he himself in true sense. And otherwise, he is externally, he is Dwarkadish Krishna, he is Partha Krishna, he is whatever you say, he is Rukmini Pati, he is Satyamama Pati, and he is Dwarkadish, like that. But all those things are not as important as he being a personality in Vrindavan. And specifically to express himself completely, to really feel or live the way he wants to live. First, what he does is very interesting. He steals the knowledge of all the Brijvasis who are going to be Brijvasis. Even before taking birth as Brijvasis, he will steal all their knowledge that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that Maya is called as Janamohini Maya. In 10th canto, that one sloka is there. There he has mentioned that with the help of Janamohini Maya, he steals the knowledge of all the Brijvasis that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then what they remember, only one thing, that either he is our brother, he is our son, or he is our lover, he is our paramour, cows feel that he is our boss, he is our master, we love him so much, but nobody loved him because he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everybody just loved him because he is Krishna, our beloved, that's all. There was no reason behind it, why they loved him. And then he enters, so that he can express himself as naturally as he is, and he has no hesitation, and no one knows him as Supreme Lord. So that awe and reverence and respect and the praying and the prayers and the suktas are not there. He wants to get away from all these things because he has got enough of it. In Dwarka, in Vaikuntha, in Goloka, everybody, everywhere, he's being worshipped by everybody, chanting superfluous, extraordinary verses of Vedas, Vedic hymns. But real happiness he is not deriving from those wonderful shlokas. He is deriving the real happiness by expressing that he is not the Lord, behaving he is not the Lord, and exchanging that pure love between him and the Brijvasis, and especially Gopis, and especially Srimati Radharani. So all of us are not so happy in office because we perform well, we make progress, and we make promotions, and we really control things, and we are really giving results. That doesn't satisfy us. We get satisfied when we come home and relate to our child who's climbing on our head and pulling our shikha. We come home and love to get chastised from our wife for coming late and not taking them to shopping. But that is what the love that we need to be fulfilled of. And that gives us the correct fulfillment. However successful you are outside in the world, but The loving relationship at home gives you true satisfaction, and that is what is Radha and Krishna's relationship. That is what is Krishna desiring to have, and that is what Radharani is. And for her love, he gives up all the opulences of Vaikuntha, and he comes there as a simple cowherd boy, loitering in cow dung and cow urine and braj raj, making himself dirty, not wearing any opulent things, simply wearing peacock feather or forest flowers, and going around everywhere, playing with the cows, making himself dirty, playing on the flute, because wearing peacock feather. That's what he relishes, really and truly. And in between, demigods come, and then they do some mischief, and then they are punished, and then they come to the senses, and then they ask for forgiveness, then they become repentful, then they offer prayers. And Krishna expresses that it's too boring for him to go undergo those prayers, listening to those prayers. He's just waiting for them to finish those prayers so he can go and play with his cowherd boys and dance with his cowherd girls' friends. Because those official things do not satisfy you any longer once you are in touch with true love, true selfless love, and true selfless loving relationships. When you experience, then you do not want anything else. You don't want any opulence or worship by anybody else. Those things are there only when you are satisfied at home, then you want to progress outside. But if you are deficient at home, the progress outside has no meaning. Same way, the position as Dwarkadish, position as Golokeshwara, position as Parameshwara has no meaning to Krishna, because his heart is hankering to be Radhikesh, to be Radharani's dependent servant. So that is very important to understand. So again, who is this Radharani? She is the Krishna's personality has got many, many unlimited, wonderful, unlimited qualities. And out of that, the most important quality is love, right? But higher than love is compassion. This is based on love, but compassion is a very refined manifestation of love. And it goes for people, goes to save people, goes to fetch people, goes to bring people at the feet of Krishna. So that Krishna's superfluous, extraordinary, transcendental compassion, causeless compassion, personifies as Radharani. So she, when she shows her compassion, there is no comparison. Even Krishna cannot match. Even when Krishna rejects somebody, Radharani may accept that person and forgive that person and give shelter to that person. Like for example, before I was telling you that if you call Krishna, then Krishna may not listen to you, may not respond to you. So the story of a peacock, one peacock one time went to Nandagaon and he started calling Krishna by various names. Krishna, Govinda, Gopal, Natwar, so many beautiful names he was calling, and he wanted audience of Krishna. He was calling for a long time, but Krishna never came. Not even a glimpse or not even a symptom of response from his side, directly or indirectly. Then what happened? Then he went back. He was very sorry. He came down and he met some Brijbasis, and the peacock was crying, and the Brijbasis asked him, "Why peacock you are crying?" He said, "I called Krishna again and again. So much fervently I called, intently I called, but I had no response. I feel my life is wasted. I feel I am useless and worthless." So the Brijbasis were very kind. They said, don't worry. You can go to Barsana and there you can go and call Radhe Radhe. And she may tell you what to do. So with great hope, whatever in a hopeless condition, he had little hope. He went to Barsana and he called Radhe. And even in the Ra and Dhe, it got completed before that Radharani arrived there immediately. And she picked up the peacock and took it in the lap and started caressing her with love. And peacock was crying still. And Radharani asked the peacock, "Why are you crying?" Then the peacock said that, "I went to Nandagaon, I called Krishna and Krishna never came." "Oh, really? Don't worry. Now you again go to Nandagaon and you just don't call him, you just say Radhe Radhe. And you try." So it was given great hope. First the Brijvasis and Radharani, and he went back to Nandagaon And this time, before even he completed Radhe, Krishna came running. Krishna came running, running, running down. And he said, yes, because, yes, what do I do for you? I love you. He took him in lap and started caressing him. And Pico started shedding tears this time, not of sorrow, but out of happiness. Pico started shedding tears. Looking at the Pico shedding tears, Krishna started shedding tears. And while the Pico was shedding tears of ecstasy, of success in life, of achieving the mercy of Krishna, Peacock shed some feathers. Romancha, like that. And those peacock feathers, which were left by the peacock, Krishna picked up and put on his crown and made it his crown. That's how one of the many reasons why Krishna wears the peacock. Peacock has his crown. So the message from the story is that Radharani's mercy is much, much, much more deep and expansive compared to the mercy of Krishna. And Krishna's mercy is very unpredictable. And Radharani is very much approachable because she is very simple at heart. Not that Krishna is not simple at heart, but the Krishna is the way he is. That's it. Ananya chintayantu mam. He just doesn't accept anything, even 99.99% pure. He wants 100% pure, exclusively offered to him, ananya, nobody else can share that, no maya item can share that point, not 1% of your consciousness or your desire as yours. It has to be 100% exclusively offered to Krishna, then only Krishna will be available. But Radharani is accepting us even if we are half contaminated, half pure, even if we are mixed. What she sees is the positivity in us. And then she accepts us through Lalita. She ordered Lalita to go and pick up all the souls who has got little spark for Krishna. And then Lalita prepares them under the guidance of Radharani. And after preparation, Lalita Devi offers it to them to Krishna or us to Krishna, us to Radharani. And then Radharani is offering the devotees to Krishna as Krishna's property. And because Radharani is offering it, Krishna can't just reject us because it is offered by Radharani. She is so special. If she recommends somebody, that he has a good devotee, Krishna cannot say no to her. That kind of relationship and authority she has. So this Radharani, I'll tell you one more story of her compassion. It is extremely unusual story. However many times I tell this story, I feel the extraordinary nature of Radharani's mercy. Every time, more and more. We all know the story of Mahabharata, where the Pandavas and Kauravas had a great fight, great tussle for a long time, then great fight for a long time, and finally war was over, it was almost over. Duryodhana had lost the war, and Duryodhana was lying injured, the bank of the river, Ashwatthama was alive with Kruta-Varma, and Ashwatthama couldn't tolerate seeing Duryodhana in that painful condition, in a miserable condition of defeat and insult. So, although the war was over, Ashwatthama was revengeful and against the desire of Duryodhana. Duryodhana never desired that way. He himself desired. He went himself. And in the night he burnt the tent in the middle of the darkness. And he put fire at one end and he stood at the other end where people are running out. And he was either with bow and arrow or with sword. He was chopping off everybody's head, thinking that he will destroy the Pandavas in the middle of the night when they were sleeping condition. In the process, because of darkness, he could not locate where Pandavas were, and he actually killed the five sons of five Pandavas. Each Pandava had one son from Draupadi, and those five sons were taking rest in one tent, tired due to the war and after victory. And they were slaughtered in the middle of the night, and in the morning Draupadi came to know, Pandavas came to know. I know how enraged Arjuna and Bhimsen was. How enraged they were, how angry they were. So, Bhim and Arjun went on a chariot and they wanted to chase Ashwatthama and to catch him and bring him. In the meantime, Ashwatthama released Brahmastra to destroy the final heir apparent of Pandavas, who was in Uttara's womb as Parikshit. So that was somehow nullified by Krishna, and then After that nullification, Ashwatthama started running because Bhima and Arjun started chasing him. First on the chariot, they were running, and at one point of time, Ashwatthama's chariot horses, they were foaming at the mouth. They could not walk further the way he was driving them. So he jumped out of the chariot because the horses were unconscious, and Arjuna and Bhima also, along with Krishna, they were running behind. They also, to equalize, got down the chariot and they were running, running and running behind, chasing Ashwatthama in the forest. And finally they caught him. And they caught him and they arrested him, tied him up and brought him to Draupadi, who was crying for the five sons whose dead bodies lay in front of her. She was crying with very, very bitterly the loss of her young, beautiful, chivalrous, handsome sons. And there comes Ashwatthama, brought by Bhimsen Arjun. They did not kill him because they thought he is the Gunegar, who is offended, actually, the real offender of Draupadi, not themselves, because he had killed and given so much pain to Draupadi mainly. Of course, they were painful, in pain. But they thought Draupadi should decide what should be done with him. So they brought him, without killing him, to Draupadi. And they said, here, Draupadi, do whatever you want with him. Here is Ashwatthama who slaughtered your children. What should we do with him? And amazingly, most surprisingly, most amazingly, which is unheard of, she just said, leave him alone, don't kill him. But they asked why. They wanted to crush him to pieces. They were just waiting for her orders. So Bhima could have used all his powers to pulverize him. But to his utter surprise, he heard the answer, no, just leave him. So he said, why? So she said, I have undergone the pain of getting my sons killed, losing my sons, most beloved sons. I know what is the pain of losing a beloved son. Not one, five of them I have lost. And our Guru Mata, her name is Kripi, who is the wife of Dronacharya. They had the son Ashwatthama. So Dronacharya was Guru, Kripi was Guru Mata, and Ashwatthama was Guru Putra. And she said, they only have one son. And if Guru Mata loses one son, the only son, how much pain she will have? I don't want to her to cause that pain which has caused already to me. I don't want that to be caused to her as revenge. So please leave him alone. So at that time Krishna was very angry, not on Draupadi but on Ashwatthama. So Krishna ordered Arjuna, I want him to be killed, at the same time I do not want him to be killed. It's a very tricky situation. So that time they were puzzled. So Krishna went ahead and plucked his mani, which was there on his forehead, you know. That was the inborn jewel that he had on his forehead. And that was source of all the effulgence, all Brahma Teja, all the power. Everything rested in him because he was a great soul. He was not an ordinary personality. In fact, he was the incarnation of the Amsha of Lord Shiva. So he was a very great personality. But because of wrong association, he had wrong kind of activities and wrong support he gave. Nonetheless, that whole particular jewel was his glory. So Krishna plucked that jewel from his head. And never before in the whole history of creation has ever Krishna cursed anybody like that, the way he cursed Ashwatthama. Horrible, really horrible. Krishna said, I have removed this jewel from you. And he gave it to Arjuna. He said, the wound will never get healed. Whatever you will do, the wound will not heal, number one. It will keep bleeding and bleeding and bleeding no matter what you do. And it will cause you so much pain. So much pain, no medicine will work on you. And that pain will be so much that you will prefer to die than to bear that pain. But I curse you that you will not die, even if you want to die. Even your death will relieve you of all the pain, but you will not die. That means such a horrible feelings that he had given Krishna by killing Draupadi's children, such kind of offense he had done. So that Krishna gave him such kind of horrible curses. And now see, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has given these curses to Ashwatthama nobody had any daring to modify them or nullify them or, you know, give some discount to them. So Ashwatthama was just wandering in the forest, crying in pain. So we cannot imagine what kind of pain he was getting. We see some pains in hospital of dying people having cancer. They're such horrible, every atom of their body pains because of spread of the cancer. And we have very heavy medicines that we give them, like morphine and so many things. But if any medicine is not going to work, then what kind of pain Krishna is going to give? Unimaginable. So he went everywhere, did all the things, was not relieved of his pain. So he went to Shiva and bowed down to him and said, "My dear Shiva, please forgive me, please relieve me, I can't bear this pain." Shiva said, "Sorry, the way you have done things, that is heinous in itself. But second thing, our boss, the Supreme Personality of God, our Supreme Master has cursed you. We have no right to do anything with you. Please forgive us and go away." The Lord Shiva sent him away. And then with great hope, he went to all demigods. They sent him away. Then he went finally to Brahma as a supreme demigod. The principal devata of this universe. And Brahma was really angry with him. He said, "You rascal, you don't understand. You're such a stupid fellow. You do such nonsense things. You deserve these things. And I can't do anything because our Supreme Personality of God has cursed you. We have no one to counteract or nullify his curses." But Ashwatthama was just like pleading and pleading and pleading, and he was really repentant by this time because he had understood with so much of pain for so many years, he had understood that he was a sinful rascal and he wanted to repent. His heart had become soft by that pain and he was repentant by that time. So Brahma said, "There is no scope for you except one hope is there. I do not know, but I only hope, and I think you can try. You go to Barsana and you sit there and call out for Radharani and her mercy. If she gets attracted to your prayers, she may relieve you, but I do not have guarantee. I am also scared to give you the suggestion, but I may suggest you still." So with that, some extraordinary hopeful instructions received from Brahma, Ashwatthama went to Barsana in the inner core chamber of Brajbhumi, where ordinary spectators, visitors do not reach. Only those who have extraordinary mercy of Radharani, they only can enter. He entered there, he reached there. And he sat in a place called Pipasavan. Pipasavan in scriptures and in normal language Pisaya, P-A-S-A-Y-A. It is very close to Barsana, about 4 to 5 kilometers on the way to Chhatravan or Chhata. It comes on the way. First comes Anjanvan, where Krishna applied kajal to Radharani, and then you go 2 kilometers, then this Pisaya comes, Pipasa 1, and then you go ahead and you come across Khadir 1, and then you go to Chhata. So this Pisaya is a very beautiful forest, and he sat there and he called out Radharani's name. "Hey Vishnubhanu Nandini, hey Karuna Mahi Radhe, hey Vishnubhanu Nandini, Karuna Mahi Radhe." And you can imagine how helpless he must be. I may try to intensify, but I cannot match Ashwatthama because Ashwatthama was in such a desperate condition, really desperate condition. Sometimes it is good to be in desperate condition. So in desperate condition, we can call out Radharani's name in that mood. It will be immediately attended to. If we just act into desperate condition, it may not work that way. So after desperately crying out the names of Radharani, actually Radharani appeared in front of Ashwatthama. And lo and behold, he fell at the feet of Radharani, and Radharani touched his forehead, and instantly all the pain disappeared, all the bleeding stopped, and the wound healed, and he was completely cured. Anyway, the very fact that Radharani appeared, that means he had become pure devotee by that time. He had undergone enough pain which was given by Krishna to him for the horrible sin that he had performed. He had got enough purification. He had come to the last station, right station, correct station, and there Radharani appeared. That was a proof that he was a pure devotee. And then by her extraordinary authority and mercy, he became completely pain-free, wound-free, and bleeding-free. And then Radharani said that, "I'm very happy with you. You please stay here and protect my place." And Radharani explained to him, which place is this where he was calling out her name. He said that this place is called Pipasa One. She explained what is the meaning of Pipasa. She said that thirst is a milder form of feeling thirsty, like feeling desire to drink water or liquid. But Pipasa is a very intense desire to drink something when you are thirsty. So when the thirst is intensified, it's called Pipasa. Pipasa is almost like, you know, uncontrollable, sometimes inhuman kind of thirst. Very, very severe. So he said, we feel that feeling of uncontrollable thirst for meeting each other, me and Krishna. And at that time, to fulfill our intense desire to meet, we come to this forest and we perform rasa dance here. This particular forest is extremely special for us. It's a very private, confidential forest that we come here and meet and dance. Many times we come here alone and dance. And at one point of time when I was dancing and I was very thirsty, Krishna dug one pond called Shyamakund and he fed me the crystalline waters of Shyamakund. And I was so happy. At one time he felt thirsty, so I created another pond called Radhakund inside this forest called Radhakund, and I fed him water and he drank the water and he felt so satisfied. So Radhakund and Shyamakund also exist in Pipasa One separately, and this is our most confidential private place where we come and fulfill our thirst, intense thirst of meeting after feelings of separation. So you please sit here and protect this place and worship us, both of us, and till the end of your life. But all of you know that Ashwatthama also was cursed that he will not die. So he became one of the eight Chiranjeevis, like Hanuman, Parshuram, like there are eight living entities, Kakabushundi. So Parshuram and Ashwatthama is still living. Ashwatthama has not died. He's still living in Pipasa One. And today also, the local residents near Khadirvan and Anjanvan and also Pipasa One. Of course, Pipasa One, no one stays. It's a very huge place, but no one stays there. It's only a place of bhajan. You'll find sadhus doing bhajan there, you know, in seclusion. And there are no grihasthas there having hutments and having farming, nothing. It's only a leela stali. So even today, the localites say that those who are very pure-hearted souls and do bhajan there, they see the darshan of Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama gives them darshan, those whose hearts are completely purified. And that forest is, thick forest is there. And it is said that if you take the wood from the forest for some private purpose, like for a yajna or some holy purpose, you can take the wood, but remaining wood has to be brought back and put back in the forest itself. If you take one full tree and you don't require the full tree, you one third tree is remaining, and you have to bring the one third tree, maybe in the form of pieces or maybe in the form of big log of wood, bring back and put back in the forest itself. If you take the wood for some selfish purposes, or if you keep the remaining wood for your own purposes, then three things may happen. And this is all seen by me also personally. Some young boy picked up some wood for personal things and brought back to his place called Khadirvan. By the time he reached Khadirvan, he became blind. So either one person can become blind, or he can become paralyzed, or he can die. One of the three things can happen if any of the property of the forest is brought for personal use and not kept back after the use. So that boy during the eye camp came stealing some wood from Khadirvan, and by the time he reached Khadirvan, he was blind. But for his good fortune, there were some old people, old aged people who were very knowledgeable, they understood the reason behind it. They told, oh foolish person, go and pick up, put all the wood back in the forest, otherwise you will die. So he understood that mistake he had done. So he picked up the wood and he went. He was taken by somebody else. Now, by the time he was blind, so he could not see. So some other friends of his took him in the vehicle with the wood, and by the time they put the wood back, his vision came back. So even off late, these things are seen. Not that is all, you know, Pauranik, some unscientific, some difficult to believe stories. So this is Radharani's extraordinary compassion. Even on the person Krishna was so angry with, every other person on the whole universe, all the demigods became felt helpless that they cannot do anything for this person because their authority had, final authority had cursed. But there is one authority which is higher than the final authority also, and that is Radharani. And Radharani, because she was very emblem of the compassion of the personality of Krishna, her compassion was higher than Krishna's compassion. So whom Krishna cursed, she was the only person on the whole creation who could forgive. So that is Radharani. And we can imagine that even if Krishna is angry with us, even if you perform some offense to Krishna, if Radharani forgives us, then Krishna will accept us. That is her authority. One small story also I remember this time of Radharani's extraordinary compassion. And one time Radharani and Krishna were roaming around in Vrindavan, Barsana. And there was a sweeper, you know, we call him Bhangi in Indian language. And he was a great devotee of Radharani and Krishna. And he was always sweeping the roads and the steps of Radharani's temple. And always chanting Radharani's name, Krishna's name, Barsana name, you know, Radhe Radhe, Sham Sham, Barsana, like that. He would chant with tears in his eyes. And he would sweep the floor, sweep the steps in the mood that maybe Radharani may come from the steps down, Krishna may come from the steps down. They should not be hurt with these small, small pebbles and stones, and their lotus feet should not get painful. With that mood, he would sweep constantly. Looking at his pure-hearted service, where he was sweeping in an immersed way, he was not aware of what's happening around him. He was fully immersed in sweeping those beautiful steps leading to Sriji Mandir, the palace of Radharani. There was a tree over those steps, you know, a huge tree, and a huge branch was flying over those steps, and on that branch Radha and Krishna appeared sitting on the branch like this, moving their legs, and the branch, both of them appeared there. And below that person is sweeping with great devotion and fully engrossed. He's not even aware what's happening upside. Radharani says, Krishna, how wonderful this devotee is. Don't you feel how wonderful he is? Look at his devotion, look at his heart, look at his feelings, the way he's serving, so impressive. Krishna says, yes, yes, I'm very overwhelmed with his devotion and love. Radharani said, you should give something to him. Should give something to him. Some token of our love and appreciation and some reward should be there. So Krishna said, yes, 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 whatever you say, tell me what we should give him. So Radharani said, you are wearing such a beautiful green jacket, so attractive. Why don't you give your green jacket to him? So Krishna suddenly said, no, how can I give this green jacket? This green jacket my father has worn me in the morning. And this is my father's special green jacket, you know. So how can I give him? My father will ask me in the evening, and what do I reply? That I just gave it away. My father may be angry with me. No, I cannot give. So Radharani said, no, you should give, please give. Don't be so attached, give. He deserves it, please give. And after long discussion, Krishna still refused. So Radharani said, okay, don't give. It's okay. I will give my shawl. My mother has put this shawl on me in the morning. And my mother will not mind if I give this shawl. So she removes her shawl. She is exactly above, both of them are exactly above that sweeper. He is sweeping. And she drops that particular beautiful shawl from above straight on his body. And as soon as that particular shawl falls on his body, he starts trembling in ecstasy, you know. His voice gets choked up. Tears, rivers of tears flow from his eyes. He doesn't know from where the shawl has come, but he feels such ecstatic emotions that he falls unconscious there. Huh? Now I will chant one shloka for all of you, which will explain to you the extent of the mercy of Radharani in the form of that particular shawl. This is a scripture called Radha Rasa Sudha Nidhi, written by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. And who is he? He is the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Who is he? He is a brother of Venkat Bhatta. Who is he? He is the Sri Rangam Brahmana, South Indian Brahmana, the brother of Venkat Bhatta, and who took sannyas. And Prabodhananda Saraswati was the personality who was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lady Gopal, Venkat Bhatta, in the house of Venkat Bhatta in Sri Rangam, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent 4 months of Chaturmasya. Whole day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance in Sri Rangam temple in ecstasy and inundate the people with love of Godhead. And in the night, these four great personalities, namely Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopal Bhatta, Venkat Bhatta and Prabodhananda Saraswati, would sit for the whole night and would listen to the narrations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describing about Krishna's loving pastimes. Every single day for 4 months. Now also we are in Chaturmasya. So this period of time, they were in that house. Huh? So this Prabodhananda Saraswati, later on became sannyasi. Of course, his name is Prabodhananda Saraswati. And he came to Vrindavan. And although he was a pakka South Indian Tamilian Brahmin, worshipping Sri Ranganathji, he became a fanatic of Vrindavan Dham. And he wrote a book called Vrindavan Mahima Amrita. A very fanatic book about the glories of Vrindavan Dham. And his samadhi is there at Kalia Ghat. If you go to Kalia Ghat, then you take darshan of Kalia Ghat and everything, and then you go behind, there is a small samadhi of Prabodhananda Saraswati. So he has written a book called Radha Rasa Sudha Nidhi, which is translated as the nectar moon of Sri Radha's sweetness, or the essence of the ocean of nectar of Radharani's love, is another meaning of that. So he begins this whole book called Radha Rasa Sudha Nidhi by first verse, which says, Yasyaha kata kadapi vasananchala khelanottha, Yasyaha kadapi vasananchala khelanottha, dhanyati dhanya pavanena krithartha mani, Yogindra Durgama Gatir Madhusudanopi Tasya Namostu Vrishabhanu Bhuvo Dishepi. What is the meaning of this verse? He said that, let's imagine on the mountain of Barsana, Radharani is standing and the breeze is blowing. Please listen to this carefully. This is a little deep, and Naveen Krishna, you can just relax for a while and be steady. So Radharani is standing in the mountain, and you know the breeze, Vayudev, is always serving in Dham in such a way. Because he also has a private life and personal life. His private life is personal life, professional life is to provide air, oxygen, water for everybody in the world and maintain water supply, maintain balance of all the carbon dioxide, oxygen in the world. But privately, in his private life, he is a devotee of Lord Krishna. So he is also in Vrindavan Dham, and he is serving always in such a way that Radha and Krishna and the gopis and the covered boys are always happy. So what he does, he picks up the pollens, the fragrant pollens of the lotus flowers flowing, glowing and blossoming in Jamuna, and then he picks up the, above the water there is always a bashpa, what you call it, evaporation, which is very filled with coolness and wetness, humidity. So he picks, the Vayudev picks up the pollens, the fragrant, and Vayudev picks up that humidity also, and it flows very smoothly. That is manda, that means very smoothly, softly, and Sugandhit, that is fragrant, and Sheetal, that is cool, because of the evaporation carried by the breeze. So the Vayu is carrying three things in Vrindavan. It is flowing very softly, it is fragrant, and it is cool in nature. And when it touches Radha and Krishna's body, it gives them great pleasure because the pollens are so sweet and fragrant. So now in Barsana on the mountain, the breeze is flowing. And because the breeze is flowing, Radharani's upper cloth is also flowing in the sky. Flying in the sky because of the breeze. And that breeze, which I explained the way it was, it touches the upper cloth of Radharani's upper cloth. It touches that and reflects back. And it reflects back in one direction. So already said, Tasya namustu vrishabhanu bhuvo dishepi. That direction in which the breeze is coming, to that direction Krishna is offering his pranams. Now have you understood exactly? The breeze is going, touching the flying cloth, upper cloth of Radharani, and it is reflected back because of the touch hitting the cloth, it's coming back. And it comes back in exactly opposite direction, and there Krishna is standing, and Krishna is not offering his pranam to the Vayu. He is offering pranam to the direction in which the Vayu is coming. Because the direction is Radharani. From there, the breeze is coming back. So much dear and worshipable Radharani is for Krishna. And now, why I told this shloka to you? Because now we are talking about the direction. Now we are talking about the breeze which is fragrant, coming back again, touching Radharani's cloth. That's very cloth which Radharani was wearing was offered to this bhangi. And that's why the bhangi was shivering in ecstasy. Imagine how dear that cloth is to Krishna. Because Krishna is worshipping and bowing down to the direction of the air which is coming from that cloth. That very cloth was offered to that particular bhangi. That's why bhangi was experiencing ultimate ecstasy. Even Krishna did not give what he was attached to, just to express the extent of the mercy of Radharani. Radharani did not stop. Radharani was going to reward and she rewarded him. You can imagine that Krishna is so much subservient and so much captivated by the love of Radharani that at times when she gets angry, Krishna falls at her feet and tries to persuade her to forgive him. But she is not forgiving him. That time Krishna cries rivers of tears and bathes her lotus feet in those tears, begging her to forgive. And then also she doesn't forgive. Then he offers his peacock feather crown at her feet, like complete defeat. Still she doesn't forgive him. And then Krishna becomes peacock and dances for her pleasure. And looking at the unusual dance of the peacock, which she has never seen before, she forgets the anger, and by the time she comes to know his Krishna, the anger is gone away. So what all Krishna does not do, just to appease her, just to keep her happy, just to keep her free from any despondency, any extent Krishna can go. To the extent, I'll tell you, there's a scripture called Gita Govinda. The Gita Govinda was written by Jaidev Goswami in something like 8th century, much before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and much before, long back, in 8th century. Jaidev Goswami had a wife called Padmavati, and Padmavati and Jaidev were great devotees of Lord Krishna, Radha Madhav, Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everything. They were in Champahati, and then Champahati is full of Champa flowers, you know, forest of Champa. And they would every day offer Champa flowers and garlands to Radha Madhav, their deities, which had manifested on their own for them. And one day Radha Madhav gave darshan to them, so happy with them. And then they were staying there and they were writing Gita Govinda, the ultimate literature of love of Radha and Krishna, the intimate love affairs and relationship with Radha and Krishna. And it's not like that we are imagining and writing. He was writing what he was visualizing every day in his divine meditation, whatever darshan he would get, whatever sakshatkar he would get, he would write down. So every day he would see and write what's happening, and Radha Krishna would perform leelas in his mind, in the courtyard of his heart, they would perform pastimes. And one time he saw that Radharani is angry and Krishna is trying to convince her, trying to pacify her. Radharani is not listening. And then he saw that Krishna bowed down to her, put his peacock crown at her feet. And Jayadev could not bear that scene. He could not believe that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, Shad Aishwarya Purna Krishna, come in Vrindavan. He is offering his peacock feather to Radharani's lotus feet and crying tears and bathing her lotus feet. He could not bear. So he just could not ride further. He took a break and told his wife, "You just cook food for me. I'm too much stressed out. I can't explain to you what's happening. I'm too stressed out. I want to go and take bath in Ganga and cool my head and I'll see what I can do." So he went and went to Ganga to take bath. And within few minutes, he came back. And he told Padmavati, "Are you ready with my food?" "So just a minute, it's getting ready." So he went inside and he completed that verse, what he could not write. He was hesitant, he could not dare, he could not feel like. So he wrote that, he completed that. Yes, Krishna bowed down at the feet of Radharani and bathed her lotus feet with his tears of eyes, begging for forgiveness. And then he came out, looked like satisfied, and then Padmavati served him lunch prasad, and he ate lunch prasad to his heart's content, and very especially asked for items, and he was very happy. Padmavati was serving him with happiness, and then again he went out, and in few minutes he came back. He said, "Padmavati, I'm very hungry, please give me food." "So, Swami, what happened to you? I just served you full lunch." "So what are you talking? I came and I was long time meditating with heavy heart and hot head. I was meditating what I should do. And now I am felt a little pacified. I have come back and I'm hungry now. Please feed me. What are you saying? I never came back." So she explained everything. "You came." I said, "One minute. You went inside. You wrote something. You came back. You happily ate prasad fully. And you went out. And now you're saying again you are hungry." So Jayadev couldn't believe. He went inside the house and he saw in the pearl-like handwriting, not like his handwriting, the pearl-like handwriting, the verse was completed. And that time he could understand that Sri Krishna himself came in the form of Jayadev to the house of Jayadev and completed that verse and ate food from my fortunate wife's hands. He came out in ecstasy crying, "Padmavati, Padmavati, you're so fortunate. Krishna came to your house and ate from your hand. Do you know that? This is what I did not write. Krishna came and wrote this verse. And they both fell into ecstasy and they fell on the ground shedding tears of love. So I told this story to you. What even Jayadev, the most realized soul, could not accomplish. He could not dare to write this, that my dear Supreme Lord, my worshipable Lord is bowing down to Radharani's lotus feet. He could not write. Krishna himself came and wrote that and made it for sure that he told all the world, Bathuli Gita Govinda, that I do bow down regularly at the feet of my Radharani. So Krishna had no hesitation. Jayadev had as a devotee, but Krishna as a person involved in the Leela did not have any hesitation to reveal his heart in Gita Govinda to be written by Jayadev Goswami. That is the private life of Krishna, that is Radharani. And Krishna also, like all of us, has his own sadhana. He does chant and he does meditate at the banks of Yamuna, Kalindi Tatakunja Mandire. He sits down under a tree and meditates on the two lotus feet of Radharani and chants by his lips, "Radhe, Radhe, Radhe." That is his sadhana. He chants Radhe Radhe and he meditates in the courtyard of his heart on the lotus feet of Radharani. And that's how he attains an unusual form. When he sat down like this at one time when Radharani and Gopis were searching for him, chanting Gopi Gita, searching for lost Krishna, at that time Krishna sat down under the Imlitala tree and he became golden, he attained golden form, he became Radha, He became Radha Mai. He completely was conquered by the consciousness of Radha because he was meditating on her, missing her, in separation from her, chanting her name, meditating on the lotus feet. And Radharani came searching for him in the middle of the forest with gopis, and she saw a man wearing peacock feather, blue, yellow dhoti, having ring flute tucked in his waist cloth. But he was golden in color. So they all wondered, who is this man? He looks like Krishna, but he has golden color. So then they sent Radharani, you go and find out. So she touched him. As soon as she touched him, he came back to external consciousness. And he became blue. And now he was actual Krishna. And he opened his eyes. And Radharani asked him, what is this? What is this secret? What is this mystery? Please tell us. So Krishna said, when I left you from Rasleela, I couldn't bear your separation. So I sat down here and I meditated on your lotus feet and I was chanting your name. And I was immersed in that with closed eyes. And I lost myself. And I became you. And I experienced some extraordinary joy when I was thinking about you and what you feel about me. I was thinking about that. One thing I was thinking about you, and second thing I was feeling what you think about me. That was my meditation. And that has made me like this. Whatever you saw, I didn't see, but you saw. That was the transformation took place because whatever I did about you, that happened to me. Now I am so eager. You broke my meditation. You brought me to external consciousness. Now I am deciding already that I will be coming again in Kali Yuga for 48 years with your bhav to understand what is the mystery of your bhava. What kind of love, what kind of experience is there in that bhava? So I will now take your bhav and appear again in Kali Yuga as a devotee, as you, as devotee of me, and experience what you are feeling all the time. The mystery of your feelings I want to experience. Radharani said, you, are you going to accept my bhava? Then you will surely to fall in the water, in the thorns, in the pebbles. You will fall from the trees, you will fall on the ground, and I will not be able to bear the thought that you will be getting injured. So I will cover you with my kanti, with my complexion, so that you will not get hurt. And I am sure you will fall down. So who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna with Radharani's bhav in his heart, acting as a devotee, but covered by the merciful complexion of Radharani. That is why he is golden. He is also becoming golden within because of the transformation of the heart. But also he is externally covered by golden complexion. And that is what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the very manifestation of the glory of Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must have come for many external reasons, to distribute the holy name and to establish Yuga Dharma. But he came actually to explore the mystical ananda that Radharani experiences in relating with Krishna. Krishna exploring Radharani by his own mystical way. That is ultimately Radharani herself. So whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has done is actually Radharani is doing, because Radharani's heart is being expressed through Krishna as if she was manifesting as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And she is, and she was, definitely. So when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, is another charitra of Radharani, manifested through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and manifested through all the devotees, and their interactions is all essence of Radharani's bhav is expressed into this 48 years of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is why our sampradaya is very special, because the epitome of our sampradaya is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in our sampradaya, and that is why the best of all four sampradayas, the eight things, two of ours and six of other three sampradayas, are all incorporated in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And still the epitome is Radharani's love for Krishna, which is the heart of the teachings of our Gaudiya Sampradaya. Srimati Radharani Ki Jai Ho. Thank you very much.